CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. What's happening? Yes, we're live. Are you ready for Wednesday? Man, I was just... I've made some stupid life decisions.
Oh.
Nah.
I could have become a preacher. Now, bear with me for a second, all right? Thought this through.
Oh, okay.
Could have become a preacher. You never really have to be accountable for what you say because you supposedly get judged in the next life. You see these preachers, they all got planes, they've all got... I'm talking about these mega church successful ones, you know? There's a lot of good people who've got a little parish church nearby and you know, they get the community involved and all that stuff. I want one of those mega churches. You've got your own private jet, private yacht. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want.
The ones that really do actually do the best with Jesus' message, so much so that the Lord rewards them.
Yeah, they get the material rewards. Yeah. That's the one. And I could have done that. Instead, this is where you just wish you didn't have principles, that you didn't question things you didn't need to question. Like, I didn't need to question this whole religion thing. I could have just got on with it. Huh? Mm.
I always look at my father and I say, if only.
What, if only he were a mega church pastor? You could have inherited all that cash?
Yeah, I mean...
Could have grown up with riches?
He does rounds to visit old people.
No, he's a good man. I met your father. He used to bring you here every morning at 5 a.m.
Imagine.
Drop you off. What a good man that is.
But not
a mega church pastor.
I could have been dropped here by a private jet.
I know.
Helicopter Sanguini.
You know what I mean? That's what we could have been.
And then you just could have come in here, just praised Jesus, and then got on with the show. Yeah.
Oof. Don't you see me in a shiny purple suit playing the organ?
We wouldn't even had to. Listen, guys, there's still time. Because I can do this. I mean, I can make a big thing of.
Is there, though?
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
Because doesn't Jesus give you, like, he's judged you now?
No, but here's the deal. You see, you can always get out.
There's the
get out of jail free card.
But there's redemption.
I can
That's
say,
Monopoly, not
It's the same
Jesus.
Thing. Oh. Same, where do you think Monopoly got all its good ideas from?
Oh, okay.
I can say that I have been rescued. That it's taken me the whole of my life up to now to figure out how wrong I was.
Yeah, smart.
And I have been delivered. And then I can say, and I can get up on that stage and say, you know, I was walking the evil path.
Yes.
Because people love that. They love a redemption story. And I can say, now I've found the true path. I have found Jesus. And they'll eat that up. And I'll say, but you know, I'm going to need quite a lot of your money.
Okay, let's not be that blatant.
No, you can, because these guys are.
No, but Gareth, you can, as long as you said Jesus said that you needed the money.
Right, because you remember those pastors.
I think that's how it works. If you can quote God, because it's funny how people who do the most hear the most from God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what
they
I picked up.
Have a direct line to him?
That's what I picked up. It's like, you've spoken directly.
And there's no way they can prove it, but they know it, so we've just got to buy it.
Well, yeah, God doesn't send WhatsApp voice notes.
No.
It's generally through...
Hey, Nora.
Nighttime.
What's up, boys?
Yeah, he always sends these cryptic messages, right?
There's this
through
song?
one dude in robes or a
it's
hat.
It's a burning bush.
Yeah, right. Right.
Something.
There's a song that I recently listened to by Suicidal Tendencies. It says, send me your money. That's pretty much what it's about.
There we go.
This guy had a message. God appeared in a dream or whatever while he was meditating.
And what did God say? Send me your money?
Some more lyrical genius from Suicidal Tendencies.
Cunty.
Just more. Okay, so you need a sign, though. What will speak to you?
Yeah. Well, I've got to make this whole thing up, but give me a bit of time. I'm telling you now, if anybody reads anything in the news or you hear anything in the next couple of months about how I've had this epiphany and I'm a changed man, you know this is what I'm aiming for. It's just a really brilliant get-rich-quick scheme, all right?
But how comfortable are you?
Just go along with it. I want my audience here to understand. You just got to go along with it. We can all benefit from
it. They mustn't ruin the surprise.
But how comfortable are you shouting with eyes closed in public?
Oh, that's a key thing. I'm good with that.
With I've the head, done that with often. The head slightly tilted down.
Yeah, I do that in traffic.
Okay, cool. Well, then, Gareth, it sounds like you got it all sorted out.
Yeah.
Can I just have two requests?
Sure.
Firstly, is
now,
it
whatever you want, brother.
Is it possible for me to head up your church choir?
Sure. How about you run events, but I don't want you to sing in the choir. We've got to.
Can you be like head of collections, yeah? Because you're quite good at that. You're very personable.
Sure,
okay. And you're quite nimble
I'll
in
let
your feet.
You keep 10%.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. And then this
I think head of choir might, I don't know.
Might scare away the people that we're trying to attract.
Because, I mean, you've got to say it.
Yeah,
people,
a lot of Whitney
people of
Houston
Christ
fans.
Generally get a good rhythm going.
Mm. Yeah.
And they can then whip up people into good song. Mm-hmm.
And then the second request, do you know the actress Cicely Tyson, who's in her 90s? In America and she yeah. spoke at Aretha Franklin's funeral.
Yeah, I saw her.
May I just wear her hat
yes,
every
what
single
a hat.
Sunday?
Jesus, what a hat.
How many hats
it
you
was
want?
Massive.
You know what we'll do? I'll write to the daughters of Winnie Mandela and we'll get all her hats. She had a collection like you cannot believe.
Yes.
You can have all of those. Sure you can.
There we go.
Then I'm need happy. You. I'm going to need you to dress up a little bit. So.
I'm on board then. I'm definitely on board.
Oh, what a hat. Sweet Lord.
Well, see, I mean, you can always be like the top or the tail of a sermon, and this sermon today is benefiting the C.S. Ungueni Hat Foundation.
Yes. Ooh. In the name of our Lord Jesus.
And then
you're going to say, this is because he wills it to be.
Yeah. Ooh.
And then people believe that.
And then you can even have like a tagline saying, mm-hmm. I tip my hat to the power of Christ.
Ooh.
There we go.
About to make me
and then people
this.
Will all do the same with their
sure,
hats.
It's up in here.
And if they're too poor to afford the hats, then how did they get into our church?
Mm. Well, you're selling very reasonably priced hats at the door as well.
You
can get them from China.
Ben, you're in charge of merchandise.
Yeah. It's going to be a good church.
All right. I got this email. Tell me if you think this is real.
Okay.
From Torna, no surname. I'm normally endeavoring to find an adventure to go into. What about you? Is the subject.
A lot of words, not a lot of sense.
Listen, we know lots of people who have bad grammar. It might not be a bot. But let's keep, shall we forge forward?
Yep, let's endeavor.
So, she starts, I ended up sitting around recently, thinking about the weekend and the fact that it didn't really wind up in nothing at all.
What?
I know, just... You know what she's getting at.
Let's go with it, okay.
I really cannot sit around all week yet again. So I was hoping you'd be up to join me for some fun and relaxation.
Mm.
Well, not all relaxing. You're going to have to work up a sweat with me first.
Oh.
Lol. .. Interested? ?
That's the plot twist.
Message with a small m. Me anytime. You get the impulse on 1-781-421-9432. Hopefully you will not wait forever. It's like she knows me.
But it's like, again, you're the only one who gets these,
have
Gareth.
Have you found your soulmate from this?
I wonder what site. Because I really don't spend a lot of time on dodgy sites. Honest to God, I have been on them, and very often I laugh. And
there's
then,
no need to with what's
no,
happening, what it is.
Yeah, you really don't.
People of, so.
How do you spell Tawna?
T-A-W-N-A. But I've just deleted it. I don't think she's real. Do you think that's a good... Guess.
No, it's no problem, Gareth. You've got no faith.
See? Again.
Speaking of which, though, I genuinely went to church this past Sunday.
Nice.
And I haven't been in such a long time that I've forgotten certain church etiquette.
Uh-oh, what did you do?
Like when you do that curtsy in the beginning?
Just really bad. I really felt bad about myself. But the choir performed a few songs. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, you know, when someone performs a musical song, you clap. And I found myself clapping in church. And that's like a no-no. So people started looking at me weirdly. And I was like, okay, sorry. That's when I sat down again.
Are you not meant
again.
To clap in church?
No, you don't. It's like
depends what church, right?
Yeah, it depends on the church.
If it's charismatic and brouhaha and you catch the spirit. But in most churches, you know, the choir performs and then they'll lead off orderly and they'll sit down and that's it. And there was communion this past Sunday and I was busy on my phone. I know it's bad, but anyway.
In church,
I was busy texting on my phone.
Sexting?
No, I was texting. And, you know, everyone's meant to lead out row by row, And I was the last person on my row, so they were all waiting on me, and I didn't realize it. So I was busy trying to like finish my text, I press send, I look up.
You must be careful. There used to be a time they'd burn people for that. No, really.
And I realized the whole row is now just like side-eyeing me, and I was like, okay, sorry, you can't exactly curse me out in the house of God.
So are you Methodist? Did that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I knew it.
How did you? What gave it away?
Because Methodists
I struggled to recognize.
Very strict and orderly. That's the thing. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Methodical. Mm. It's in the name. Yeah.
Hey, but do you want to go and see what I did with the Comedy Central poster they sent me?
What did you do to it?
Go and look on the wall in my office.
Oh no! Oh, it is up.
Yeah, go and look.
Okay, let's go and
go
see.
Go look, and I'll have a report back.
I do want to see this.
Go and have a look. Ben and I will amuse ourselves in the meantime.
That's very nice. Very nice what you've done, Gareth. Very nice what you've done.
Yeah, they're expecting to see the Samizi roast poster, which, funnily enough, Ben pointed out, it's definitely going up in, like, Tsiki Mazwai's house. It's, like, going to go right above her fire.
Yeah.
If she has one.
It's a pride of place kind of thing.
Yeah.
Did you all sign it, or is that a printed signature?
No, it's signed. I remember us signing it on the night, but that stuff I've thrown away. So I've reused the frame.
But you were meant to give it to Dave Levinson so you can raise money for those...
What, you don't like?
Okay.
You don't like it?
Okay, you have to explain yourself. It's so now I see the frame that was used.
Right, that's all I've kept.
And you have now put in some new artwork. It's different playing cards and they're famous people on the cards.
When I was in Holland, I bought a deck of cards. It's this brilliant artist who does, if you look up Cool Club, the Cool Club, I think it's .nl because it's from Holland. It's this artist who paints all these famous people, but it's a very beautifully graphic design template type thing. And he does portraits, and he's got the whole deck of cards. It's 24 cards, right?
Yeah,
he's got the whole deck of cards with, you know, like Madiba's the Ace of Diamonds or whatever. And
I saw Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, yeah, there's lots of famous people on the cards. So
and they're all animated.
Right, it's called the Cool Club. And now I've put them onto a plain yellow background. Yellow is the color that we use here at Cliff Central more often than any other. And I've used the frame. So I thought it's a good way to... Why don't you like it? Because he didn't walk in and go, oh, that's beautiful.
No, okay.
You don't like it?
Where's the actual...
What, the stuff they gave me?
Yes.
Thrown away.
Alrighty.
In the trash.
Look, I get that this is a middle finger gesture, but...
No, it isn't necessarily.
Why didn't you
No, I just don't want it. I thought this is a great frame. I was looking at it yesterday. I've been wanting to frame those cards for a long time. I went home, got a little knife, took out the old frame, put in the new one.
You did all that
I did it
yourself?
All myself. Yeah, yeah. I didn't need a professional framer or anything. I did that whole thing. And it was fun. It was a fun exercise to do. It took me like, 45 minutes, an hour.
I don't mean to stress this point.
Measured out where the cards go. And, you know.
But you have no picture of yourself up anywhere.
Mm-mm.
You and family?
Yeah, I've got family. Lots of family photographs and things. Plenty of those. Yeah.
And you might be
Be in one or two, okay. Yeah. Sure.
But you aren't the person.
No, I've got it. For example, behind my desk in my study, I've got a very nice picture of me and my brother and sister.
Oh, that's nice.
We were all at a wedding together, and there's a nice picture of the three of us. And then there's some pictures of, you know, the rest of the family. And there's one or two. I think there's one of me and my mom. And I can't remember, but there are a few. So I do have pictures of me. It's that was a trashy, nasty present to give someone, and I'd prefer if they didn't give it to me. So I just used it and turned it into something better.
So, for example, you know the actors Connie and Shauna Ferguson,
yes,
right?
Yes, sure.
This is their
that
lounge.
Portrait.
Oh, they've got a huge portrait of themselves in their lounge. Jesus, what's wrong with people? Don't those two get enough attention?
Wow, it's not... Wow, okay.
It's so hideous.
It takes up a whole wall.
That's almost like a shrine to yourself. That's
that is
strange.
So hideous. Michael Jackson used to do that too, didn't he? You know, I mean, it's all good and well. If you put up, you know, we've got a thing in this country of ancestor worship, and I think that's probably quite a healthy, not worship necessarily, but acknowledging your ancestors and where you're from. You know, they used to do that a lot in Europe. They'd have a portrait of the great-great-great-great-grandfather up above the chimney and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's nice. But of yourself, that is unadulterated ego. So that's what Connie and Shauna have got this picture of the two of them. First of all, I love those two. I do think they're very talented people. They've been hugely successful. They love each other. They've got a great relationship. But if that doesn't work, who gets the picture and who wants the picture? Because they both, it's not going to work. They're going to burn and destroy the picture, right?
And it's on the wall.
So your attitude to art is very temporary.
But, you know, it's in the meantime, we'll enjoy it and our relationship while it lasts.
Yeah, but why put yourselves up on your wall? You're in the house. It's your house. You don't need to see yourself.
Yeah, but what if you get burgled and then the burglars are like, oh, can't wait to steal. Oh, wait, it's their house. No, I'm out of here. What's stealing from these two? I love them.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
I'm a big fan.
You see, I'm this person, no, though.
I don't know. It looks really, to me, that's super, super trashy.
Just wait till I get enough money. Mm. I'll even have someone, you know, those people who are able to design shrubs into art?
Oh, yeah, topiaries.
Yeah, I'd want a portrait of myself.
He's going to have frosted glass in his front door with his visage.
Yes.
I'm conflicted with this. I really don't know how I feel about it.
Where
Connie and Shona or my
No,
one?
No. I love them. So that's why I'm thinking my opinion could be biased.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not about them. It's just their design.
I think it's nice.
To have a picture of yourself. Forget about Connie and Shona. To have a big picture of yourself in your house. You don't think that's a bit odd?
Nope.
Like, it's fine to have, let's say, a wall of... Because I mentioned that... there are cartoonists and artists who've done versions of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I keep them. I haven't thrown them away. But I don't display them.
I was actually thinking of getting a canvas of myself.
Oh, here we go.
In my gi.
All right, here we go.
Doing splits, very high splits in the air.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool.
You are very decidedly different to most human beings, but I wouldn't want a picture of me. No, I think...
We get that, but Nola wants to do something special for herself.
Yeah.
This is where the conversation's going here. We've understood that you don't like yourself.
Yeah, but I'm talking about everybody. I don't know that it's healthy to have... You live in the house. You are you. You're always there on display. Why have a picture of you as well?
Well, you see, I even have myself as my own
wallpaper. Oh my God, you do. That's true.
Oh, wow. So,
that's true. You do.
Self-love starts with you.
All right. Maybe I
that's
I
your
get
set
it.
By yeah. CF for today.
There we go.
Self-love starts with you.
All right. Well, listen, there are a couple of things we need to get to this morning. Ben has found a very catchy song.
Well, the world has, Gareth.
Don't tell me about this.
It's you got to play it.
Well, just tell me what you know.
Is it the new Crazy Frog? Do you remember that a few years ago?
Is it better than...
It's probably better than Crazy Frog.
Is it better than Chicken Attack?
Well, nothing's ever going to be better than Chicken Attack, but that's a very much more niche kind of thing.
Okay, and so you're saying this is quite mainstream, that the people know this song.
Well, last year it went insanely viral in Indonesia.
Oh, so it's old already.
Lots of people there.
Okay.
This video has got almost 2 billion views. Almost 2 billion views.
Okay.
Are you ready for it? Here it is, everybody. Are they going through the whole family here?
It sounds like it.
Jeez, it goes deep.
I like this.
Let's go hunt. Let's go hunt. Let's go hunt. Let's go hunt. Run away. Run away. Run away. Run away. Say that last it. Say that last it. Say that last it. Say that last.
You.
It's the end.
Well, at least they draw it to a close.
Well, they do, and it's quite nice that they say this is the end. But it's one of YouTube's top 40 videos of all time. There was, there was the Baby Shark Challenge, which has gone all over. There was, I think at last count, about 88,000 Baby Shark Challenge uploads, people actually doing this themselves. Like, people are losing
What's the challenge? What do you have
to do? You've just got to sing and dance. I mean, as you see, the song's quite simplistic, and the actions around are very much the same.
Baby Shark, Mommy Shark, Daddy Shark, Grandma Shark, Grandpa Shark, run away, safe at last.
So let's go hunt.
Pink Fong. Pink Fong make all these children's things. Right?
Okay.
Now, you started the show by saying you want to find money in Jesus. Yeah. I reckon we make money making songs like this.
Yeah, it's creepy, though.
So is getting money out of Jesus. What's your better idea here? You got to crack some eggs to make an omelet in life, Gareth. We should make some children's songs.
Baby Shark.
I was choreograph the dance moves.
You could easily do it. Yeah.
Easy. All right. And then we turn into a viral sensation.
Baby Shark. It's in my head. It's not going to go away. How long is it stuck in your head for?
Since yesterday.
And it hasn't gone, huh?
No. It won't.
All right. Well, there it is. Just to make your morning extra crispy and sweet this morning, we've thrown in Baby Shark.
But like, to make it less creepy, we can actually have like some anti-pedophile songs.
So don't talk to strangers type stuff.
Yes.
Don't touch your uncle. Touch your uncle.
Stay away from his sweets.
Stay away from his sweets. Don't touch him. He is a creep. Deep, 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 deep. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, wow. Has a great ring to it.
There's a stranger, I'm in danger.
I'm in danger. Okay.
Guys, we've got to do this.
Why the hell
not? Such naturals, really. Such naturals.
All right. Well, there's lots to talk about this morning. We're going to get the 5 things you need to know next. Smart Money is a series of financial tips for different life stages. We really are trying to get the best people in South Africa and in the world to help us put together a series that will help you put your life into fifth gear. I mean, essentially what we want is to provide you with the information you need to live the kind of life you want to live decently, to live elegantly, to just have things flow beautifully in your life. And Smart Money is one of those things. It's a new series that we put together by Maya Fisher-French. She's well known from television. She speaks to various experts as they help you to find answers to really tough financial questions. Things like financial wellness, saving for retirement, making sure you have the correct health care. Have you thought about that, Sia?
Ooh, how can you not, though?
You're not always going to be 23.
Not going to be young, healthy, no. Jumping around, have to make good decisions.
Navigating the gig economy, saving from a millennial perspective, how to get married and how it affects your financial situation, and so much more. Smart Money is brought to you by Discovery, getting your money right for your life. The show plays out every Wednesday at 9 a.m. All 12 episodes are available if you want to listen to the whole series. And you can download it on cliffcentral.com, on the Cliff Central app, and anywhere you get podcasts. If you've got someone in your family who is maybe they're in their early 20s, maybe even younger, and you want to set them up on the road to financial happiness and success, give them these podcasts. What I wouldn't have done to listen to a series like this when I was 20. Start saving early. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get on with it. Help someone else. Pass this on to them. Go onto the website, send them the link. They'll thank you one day when they've got millions in the bank, and who knows, you might get a Ferrari.
As a thank you?
Yeah. Yeah, they might say to you, you know, if you hadn't put me onto that podcast, I would have ended up being poor.
And here's a great way just to show my gratitude.
Right. So go on. Do it today. All right. 5 things you need to know. ICASA is playing around with regulating internet data prices. They will launch a market inquiry, which is likely to take between 8 and 18 months. These guys take such a long time. And they're considering regulating the price of internet data. The chief executive of the telecoms watchdog said on Tuesday, as part of the efforts to bring costs down and shore up the ailing economy, ICASA will be talking to various committees, to public individuals, to people who are expert in various places. They will launch this market inquiry. and it is expected to help the regulator work out how and which features in the industry need to be regulated. Now, I'm usually not in favor of regulation of any kind, but what we've got in South Africa is we've got a situation where three, maybe four big companies have a stranglehold on data.
Yep, stranglehold's a very key phrase there.
So if government doesn't step in and they don't tell these companies what should and shouldn't happen, the companies can do whatever works for them in terms of profit, bottom line. So I'm in favor of this. I think this is terrific.
So government's actually going to do something?
No.
Wow.
So this could be a good thing. Let's hold our thumbs, but don't hold your breath. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. ICASA, and anyone who can drop internet data prices, I tried to do this a long while ago. A lot of other people have tried to make this happen. It's a brick wall, so I wish ICASA luck. Cyril Ramaphosa has no problem testifying at the state capture inquiry. Yesterday, he suddenly, I think maybe, it suddenly dawned on Cyril that there's huge damage at the moment to the economy, and that a lot of that has been because of him and his government. And maybe things are starting to, crystallize in his mind about a way out of this mess, because he certainly was making a lot more sense yesterday than he's made since he became president. And he says he will gladly testify before the Zondo Commission of Inquiry into state capture. He says we've got to stop corruption no matter what it takes.
Yeah, he's going to have to do some drastic things because he's mm-hmm. doing this whole treading water act. And when that happens, he's just going to drown out of fatigue. Yeah, well, like there's the Zuma factions, all that other kind of stuff. He's trying to keep the ANC together.
I think it's worse than that. I think if Cyril doesn't wield the axe very quickly, if he doesn't appoint an NPA head who is ruthless.
Yeah.
And he doesn't immediately prosecute the bad people, they are going to take him out.
Yeah, exactly.
Cyril, your time is ticking, my friend. You have maybe a window of another week or two, and then these bad guys are coming for you. And trust me, they are way more ruthless than you are. So you've got to jump the gun now. You've got to appoint an NPA head who is fearless, does not give a shit, owes nobody anything. And you just give them carte blanche to prosecute the hell out of everyone involved in state capture. And if you don't do that, Cyril, Ace, David Makura, Supra Mahumapelo, Getlehlekisa, they're going to get together like they did a couple of days ago. It was reported in the Sunday Times, and they will find a way to take you out at the knees. Get with it, my friend. If anyone who has access to the president's listening to this now, you better tell him. This is important. This is no longer polite, conciliatory Cyril. Now you have to be shithead Cyril. You have to wield that sword. You have to be a real president. You have to be a political animal. And if you don't, you will not survive. And neither will this country. Full stop. That's all there is to it. There's no DA to save you. There's no EFF to save you. There's no Jesus coming down out of heaven. This is what you got to do, Cyril. Anyway, so he said yesterday, any member of the public who has information to share with the Zondo Commission should do so, and that includes him. He says, I have no difficulty, I have no opposition, I will go with a great deal of pleasure.
Uh-huh.
Well, get on with it. China's small farmers pose a huge challenge in swine flu and the swine fever battle. Have you heard about this?
Oof. Oh, have the tall farmers got a better way of dealing with it?
Mm-hmm.
After That's a Gordisms, yeah.
After 14 outbreaks of African swine fever across China in just over a month, pig farmer Wang Wu does not...
What's his name?
Wang Wu. Okay. He does not believe the threat to his livelihood is real. He go, I heard about African swine fever thing.
Mm.
He might talk like that, I don't know. But then people say it was just rumor. It was fake news, said Wang, who raises about 60 pigs in a village near Harbin, capital of China's northeastern Heilongjiang province. In any case, the disease was only present in the south, he said. In fact, the first outbreak was reported in Shenyang. Anyway, these guys, they've got a problem because a lot of people are not taking it seriously, and it's a very serious problem. And if these farmers don't do something about it and they don't cooperate with government, they're going to end up with a lot of dead animals and the spread of this disease, and then it's going to affect the entire economy in China, and you know China takes that very seriously. So if you don't want the government coming and unloading a truck full of guys with guns and shooting your entire herd, you better get onto this. Apparently, there's a Thai film company that is going to make a movie from the Cave Boy saga.
Oh, it was only a matter of time.
They've joined the scramble to retell the dramatic story of the 12 footballers and their coach who were freed from a flooded cave. You remember the story? It was in the news. The Wild Boars team, they were extracted from Tam Luang Cave in northern Thailand 2 months ago. There's been a frenzy of media interest in the feel-good tale. It captivated the world for weeks, and now they are going to make a movie.
Would anyone watch it? Yeah.
Well, I think that pedo guy that Elon Musk had a chat to probably watch for the boys.
Okay.
There's another inquiry into the Gupta naturalization that was conducted by Malusi Gigaba. You remember Malusi Gigaba and the leaders of the Home Affairs Department at that time fast-tracked the Guptas so that they could become South African citizens. Remember?
Yes, Gareth, who could forget?
There are 26 questions that they are seeking further clarity on from the Department of Home Affairs after they allowed the three Gupta brothers and their relatives to enter South Africa. The committee concluded the initial phase of the naturalization inquiry where relevant information was collected. Parliamentary spokesperson Malatswa Molepo said on Tuesday, he added that the committee had identified gaps which needed to be clarified by certain people to assist the committee to arrive at a conclusion. Among those expected to give evidence are Outer, the MEC of the Northwest Department of Education and Sports Development, and former Home Affairs Department employee Cornelius Gideon Christians. Home Affairs Minister Malusi Gigaba and former Director General of the Home Affairs Department were also expected to give evidence. So there we go. It's not going away. Them wheels of justice, they do turn slow, but they turn.
Yeah, they aren't turning as fast as we'd like them to.
But they do turn.
Slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm.
I was seeing as well that Oak Bay, the Gupta-owned company, is going through a process that will lead to liquidation because they haven't paid more than like 2 million rands of rent. So,
you know, that building in Midrand that was ANN 7? Mm-hmm. It's still the new age Sahara computers. They're all still, those buildings are still there, but they're empty. As far as I can tell, they've just been left derelict.
Hmm.
I wonder who the people are who own those properties. And they must have thought when the Guptas came in, oh, we have got it made. And then the Guptas just overnight, gone.
And they did have it made, though, for a while.
For a while, they got their rent paid, sure. And then overnight, the Guptas were just gone. And the place was abandoned.
Now here you are. 2 million rands in unpaid rent. But this is for their offices in Sandton.
Oh.
Yeah, their Oak Bay and their Tegeta companies.
Right. Very good. That's the five things you need to know today. Bitcoin trading at $6,285 and Ethereum at $177. The first time it's been below $180 since August last year. That's a new low. Ben, over to you. What's going on in the sport?
James Anderson's officially the highest wicket-taking seam bowler in Test history. The Chiefs fans finally get punished for being Chiefs fans. And the box, well, they're clutching at straws, basically. England were very much favourites to win the fifth and final Test against India. And they did. Well done. They won by 118 runs in the end. Of course, Alistair Cook's amazing knock of 140 something or other in his last ever innings as a Test cricketer gave them this healthy handsome lead. And then James Anderson, well, he wrapped it up by just bowling pretty well. That now means that he has surpassed Glenn McGrath's incredible record of 563 wickets as a seam bowler in Test cricket. James Anderson now is 564. He's done so in 143 matches with an average of 26.84, so he's just below 27. Although I wouldn't say he's a polarizing character. He's just a character. He's just James Anderson. I think overly interesting about this guy. But his record at home, his average speaks, well, it says he's a decent bowler in those conditions. He's taken 10 wickets 3 times, 5 wickets 21 times. 23.59 is his average. Away from home, where he does go missing from time to time, no 10 wicket hauls, only 5 wicket hauls with an average of 32.58. So many people say that obviously he makes the most of local conditions and the juke ball and all those kind of things, but good on him. And the most impressive thing about James Anderson is that he has played 143 Test matches.
That's a lot.
That's only two less than Shane Warne. Shane Warne was a fat fuck. He just bowled spin. So he had like three steps and then he bowled. Anderson's running in a bit. Sure. Shane Warne burned the candle at both ends. I mean, that guy was doing hookers and drugs and booze. And
plenty.
So, you know, everyone's a legend in their own right. Let's just not, you know, comparison, as they say, is, well, it's just not a good thing. So, an impressive record by James Anderson. You can take nothing away from that, as they say in the cliches. The most impressive thing is that he still has some go in the tank. Glenn McGrath, who's obviously very sort of gracious in the fact that he has been surpassed, said that Anderson should really push on and try to get to 600. So, 46 wickets to go for that mark. He's old. He's like my age. He's mid-30s. But 143 test matches. If any other top seam bowler can bowl that much... Well, that'll be the biggest achievement. Because Glenn McGrath, 124 tests. Courtney Walsh, 132 tests. Kapil Dev, he was the all-rounder, of course, with the greatest moustache since Magnum PI. Yes. 131 test matches. Stuart Broad's currently on 123 test matches. But Richard Hadlee, how about this for a record? 86 test matches, 431 wickets. And he played for New Zealand, which meant that... He didn't really play it, or it wasn't fun to play cricket in New Zealand because you were seen as a whoopsie if you didn't play rugby. But 86 test matches, that guy had 431, plus he was an incredible batsman. So this is the great thing about test cricket, is that great records are made. Dale Steyn currently on 88 test matches for his 421, which he shares with Ginger Bollocks Pollock, who had played 20 more test matches. It's a great thing, guys. When we're old and grey and we have very little to talk about other than the fact that we don't go to the toilet by ourselves, test records are still going to be very, very good things. Okay. And there's James Anderson getting amongst it. Rusty Rasmus is obviously having a tough week. I mean, he's about to basically lead 23 lambs to the slaughter. And there's no other way of describing it. I mean, I think Bookie is being very kind by saying the handicap that the All Blacks start with is like -22.5. So we've got a dicking on the cards here. No doubt about it. Rusty, of course, has got to obviously deal with other side shows, like why did he substitute Bongi Banambi after 35 minutes? And we addressed that on Monday. But he also said that whole line-out error thing, it wasn't Bongi's fault. It was very much Siokolisi's fault. He reacted slowly at the base at the back of the line-out. Henceforth, the ball went into Matt Timur's arms, and 7 points later, the box lost by 5 points. But that, as they say, is history. So what also is history is the fact that the box got absolutely slaughtered this time last year when they played against the All Blacks. I won't even mention that score. Yep. Not because I've forgotten, it's because I've put it up my memory. It was a harrowing painful experience. I think most of the country needed therapy that Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. I remember being in a bar in Parkhurst. There were people watching the first half. At the end of the game, there was just one guy who had a beer. And it was me. It was me, Gareth. It was me. It was sad.
Poor you.
It was me.
It's terrible. And did everyone else just clear out?
God.
Yeah.
Gone like there was a bad smell coming through the vents. So if you look where they're really clutching at straws here, Sport 24, to their credit, Rob Howing, you tireless in trying to get something out of this encounter. The All Blacks have their worst record against the box at the Westpac Stadium, the Caketon in Wellington.
Okay.
You know what the box wooden record is at this venue?
No.
23%, Gareth, and that's the best. That's their best record.
Mm.
13 test matches. They've managed 3 wins. 1 draw, 9 losses.
Now, Ben, what would happen if through miracle of miracles, we let's say we leveled with or even beat the All Blacks? I mean, there's parallel universe this is possible in.
Well, that's like saying Sia's going to get in a plane and win American Idol. I mean, we can obviously talk about it.
What would the place erupt in, you know?
Gareth, it's a very... How?
Is that an if your aunt had balls, she would have been your uncle question?
If your aunt had balls and a mythical hammer from the Norse gods, she would be your Uncle Thor, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's such a stretch. It really is. I don't know. Nothing's obviously impossible in sport because, well, there's obviously variables that can all be thrown into the mix, but there is just no chance. Fundamentally, these two teams play a different game. And you've also got to realize that I know we're very sentimental when it comes to rugby because we obviously, you know, outsource masculinity, all that kind of stuff. But the first team in the world is about to play the seventh team in the world. So that's like Sauber in the next F1 saying, well, we've tightened the bolts and we've taken some air out of the tires and we reckon we can beat Lewis Hamilton's Mercedes. If Team Sauber in F1 had to say that, they'd be laughed off. People mm-hmm. will throw fruit at them. So if Rusty Rasmus has to say, well, if we just get our basics right and we get a forward ascendancy, we could really do something special here. Shut up. It's not going to happen.
Okay.
But to the credit, the All Blacks are going with the cliches because they're going to try to talk this matchup.
Well, they want someone to watch.
It's entertainment in the day.
If it's going to be a walkover, no one's going to watch.
Can you imagine the producers of a TV show going, well, look, cast is jaded. Couldn't afford that actress, so we got her. Plot line's a bit thin. No one's... You're not going to say that. You got to try to talk up because
it's great.
You got to sell the tickets. You got to get people watching the TV. So yeah, sure. Let's be positive. All Blacks versus the Springboks, the greatest rugby rivalry in the world, even though it's no longer competitive, shall take place this Saturday. That's me being nice. All right.
Thank you.
Ben. How's the Chiefs? They, of course, remember that? Jeez, how terrible it was. Last April, I think it was. This April. In the Nedbank Cup, in the semi-final defeat, they just stormed the field at Moses Obida. Beating up everyone and breaking stuff and just acting like absolute morons. And now they've got to play three games behind closed doors, and the matches must be played at a venue in KZN.
Oh, really?
Now, I always find this is a strange punishment. Okay, so you play matches behind closed doors. Okay, wow. So that means that 40 people that would have gone to your match are now not going to your match. There's got to be better fines. There's got to be community service here. These dickbags have got to be accountable for their fans. They've got to say, right, let's get together. Fans, players, the like. Let's go and do something for a community. Let's go into KZN and, I don't know, paint a school. Learn some sort of humility or learn some sort of etiquette towards things. Mm-hmm. These guys playing in front of no fans means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Sure, it's not a great vibe, but it means nothing. Nothing's going to change. These guys need to go through some sort of reform, and there needs to be, again, the accountability. The fans that got out of hand here, what's happening with them? They're going to cup another Zamalek in the next game and still act like pricks. There's got to be some sort of, like, teams should be more responsible for their fans. They need to register their fans, obviously for loyalty and give them bonuses and you get that kind of thing going. But also, when shit is the fan, they go, right, you have acted like a prick. You are out of the club, or you will now do community service, or you will now do this reform program.
So you're asking for accountability, that's all.
Which I know is way too much, and I apologize for being such a romantic. But this is the kind of thing that needs to happen. Play behind closed doors. Blow it out your ass. PSL. Do nothing. How about go and be police reservists for a week and see what it's like actually trying to police prickheads in this country like yourself. Give back to do something for the country. Not going to watch a football game, please. Yeah, that's pretty much it for the sport. Right, there's then. not a lot going on. This is a bye week in the FedEx Cup, so now that the Ryder Cup teams have been announced, there will be no tournament this week, but the Tour Championship will take place next week at East Lake Golf Course. But if you do like the golf, it's the KLM Open, so the Dutch get to showcase their golfingness in the European Tour this week.
Very good.
Cool.
All right, let's turn our attention to Sia. In Sid by Sia, what do you got for us today?
Excuse me, I had to warm up there. Glad that cleared up. This morning's story is just going to make us all go, aww.
What?
Well, it's a grade 6 learner from PE who has made and sold key rings to make sure that his friends could join him at school camp. All together now.
First of all, I mean, a grade 6 learner in PE. Do they get to grade 6 in PE?
Well, that they get fast tracked towards, yeah.
That's good. I mean, I already thought the should have come in there.
But. No, like, Gareth, once they hit 18, they get fast tracked.
Oh, he's made it to grade 6. Shame. His name is Logan Hazelman, and he's made over 120 key rings to help raise funds for his friends who couldn't afford to attend camp. So he goes to a school called Summerwood Primary School, and he was very excited to go to school camp in the last week of September until he found out that some of his friends actually couldn't attend because of the cost. And so that's when he took it upon himself to make sure that no one of his friends get left behind. So
What a great kid. I'm serious now. This is a kid.
What innocence.
This is amazing. No, it's not even innocent. This is like moral fiber. This kid is just a superhuman. At that age, he doesn't go, wah, I want my friends to come and tantrum and behave like an idiot. He's like, I'm going to make some key rings or whatever else I can to get these kids to come with me.
there's
good
a,
for him.
There's a maturity of understanding the situation, and there's great selflessness there as well.
Good for
he started working on his weekends and late into the evenings in his spare time, and that's when he made more than 120 keyrings, which he then sold to raise funds. And these funds are now being used to make sure that his friends and children in his school have the opportunity to go to camp. He was shy at first to even tell people why he was making and selling the keyrings, but then he started seeing that his friends were getting excited and were really being grateful. So that's when he started being proud of his work.
I bet it's like Kenny from South Park. You know, his parents live in a trailer and the other kids always try to do something to get Kenny to come along.
Okay, that's also one of it.
Of course, Kenny gets excited.
The headmaster at the school is saying that they're extremely proud of Logan, saying that their vision is to develop a well-rounded community of diverse learners by creating and caring and nurturing environment. Exactly. That supports excellence in education and development in all spheres of life. But I just say kudos to Logan for just being selfless and so awesome in this way. And for the last time this morning, everybody goes... Oh.
Well, you know what? Logan's a good kid. I wonder how those, I wonder how those parents feel about the other kids.
Things that make you go,
You know?
That's
they're sitting there, they're sitting there in their hands waiting for Logan to come and give them a bailout.
And imagine a grade six or you're 12 years old stepping up and doing something.
All right. Very good. Nice. There's what you need to know in Said by Sia this morning. Coming up in a little while. And if you're wondering, no, Gord is not feeling well. So he's not here this morning. But we'll catch up with him probably next week. It is a Wednesday. And hopefully your day is off to an awesome start. We are here to look after you. We'll take your calls. 0861-555-189. Tell us what you're up to. Tell us what's on your mind.
CliffCentral.com.